But we will be. I saw on the farm yesterday.
He is not. He is coaching this evening. Mr. Ressig, do you have any public comments?
The only question I have is, is the chair using her microphone?
Yes, all the microphones are on. Can you,
okay.
Do you need it a little louder?
I'm often reminded that I have age-appropriate hearing, which means at 70, not very much. So I need all the help I can get.
Okay, and just you can chat with me because I have the I've got the controls here. If you're having problems hearing anybody, I'm trying. I'm just trying to do it. Okay. So hopefully, if this doesn't provide feedback. Okay.
Ms. Thomas, can I comment on the letter from the county this afternoon? Well, absolutely. So, would you like to pull one, number one? Director Moore? I just want to say that I was taken aback by this letter. Because it makes it sound like we have come before, that we need a lot to do all the things that they so thoughtfully provide. And I'm sorry, but I intend to be very sarcastic. If that came across sarcastic, I intend to. This is crazy. Our part district can't follow these protocols. So that's all I have to say.
I'll reiterate from Tracy, starting this with the letter when it first came through. Yeah, nothing like having
the first time I read
like having millions of dollars to pass in the buck to a small district, right? Who's at your mercy?
Yep.
So we're hopeful, right, Mike? You guys gonna keep on plotting?
They are constantly on the call sheet, as well as two assembly member and two senators. So I've memorized phone numbers. It's a little, it's fun. No, it's not.
Any other director comments on 1234 comments? Hearing none, we'll move forward with consent. Chair will entertain a motion.
I'll move that we accept the consent calendar 1 through 8.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Lisa. Have you pulled? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, ladies. Okay, general business. Preliminary budget. Boy, is that pencil sharpening a little nervous again?
Yes.
Hey, as we start this, Administrator Heller, do you want to lead this off?
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. What you have in front of you is a copy of the prelim budget, as well as suggestions for staffing, which was part of the staff report, moving forward into the 2021-22 fiscal year. This has been a little while in the making. Admin and Finance had a quick look at it last week, and there have been changes since then when it was released on Friday to all of you. It shows us dipping into the fund balance a little bit for a number of reasons. There are a number of capital projects that are in there, which we're going to ask the board to review and discuss so we can come back for the public hearing next month if we want to not do some of them or defer some of them to later years. There's some staffing recommendations and suggestions in there. But overall, day to day, there was slight increases, and that's just due to the cost of living going up and things becoming more expensive over time. So we adjusted the division budgets appropriately for that, as well as we're anticipating coming out of the COVID pandemic. So that's going to affect us both on the expense side and the revenue side, hopefully, and we'll be able to balance that out moving forward. Staff is confident with this and what we passed to you. We know that there are going to be some recommendations and some changes, and we're ready to move forward with that. Deanne and her staff worked extremely hard on this, and because me threw in a recommendation for a goals and objectives meeting so late into the process, she was up against a time crunch. So I do want to recognize her publicly for getting this done and in on time so admin and finance had something to look at. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at yes, I am.
Well, we did meet and discuss the preliminary budget, which, as Dave's point, Administrator Heller has changed, and I haven't. I'll be honest with you; I haven't really checked on the changes.
The one thing that Jerry wasn't at the meeting, but Mike, you updated him on what we discussed.
Yeah, we sat down.
Okay. So the only thing, the only comment I had was that if the budget would allow it, under the last item down here, there's four bullets, I would like the budget to include both a step increase and the COLA adjustment, not necessarily that we will do both, but that it would contain both. And that's you know, money allowed. And I will agree with whatever Deanne says we can do.
It currently does contain both step and COLA.
Okay. So That's the only comment I had from our meeting.
Okay, Lisa, you have comments for me?
Well, the only thing is the step increase, we have to continue that because of the hourly rate. So that's part of that. So we have to stay on track with that. Like COLA, I would like to be a COLA, but I'm not too sure until we get some revenue in. Not totally against it, but I'd like to see maybe some more money coming in before we actually do that. I mean, we can put money aside or just maybe kind of think about it, like reserve needs to be decided later on to do that.
So you're suggesting like mid-year?
Yeah, mid-year. Well, we haven't given McCullough in a long time, so I know they deserve, it. But the thing is, again, we have to realize that we don't have any income coming in. So once we get our programs going, in my opinion, we can revisit that. It's not a definite no for me, but it's just something that we have to think about.
All right, thank you, Thomas. Sebastian.
I agree with Lisa. I'm just going to be down with the right now. Coming out of everything, hoping to get some more revenue coming in. And then I just want to confirm it looks like that we're going to hire a new administrative services supervisor. That's the job title. So put more qualified person for that and then remain with the job title that we have right now. And then the recreation division.
My comments have, thank you, Charlie, for the other time, the red reports, the report, the discussion. I agree with the step increases because we have to keep pace with the dollars raised. COLAs, I think we can concur. And maybe we revisit it in January at the halfway point of the budget. And if so, we won't make it retroactive, but maybe moving forward from January going forward at the midway point of the budget to add a COLA possibly at that time. Is everybody comfortable with looking at it at midway?
I'm in agreement.
Okay. I do have concerns about, I'm glad our fund balance is where it is. I do have concerns about adding a secondary full time at a time that, and I went back and was reading things, and even before the pandemic, our revenues were really great. You know, they were barely paying Eric's salary. So there's twofold of that. It's, do we try that in hopes that, okay, more face time in the community is going to elevate that? Or is it going to stay the same? And, you know, those are just my only concerns with it. I'm not opposed to it because we do have a healthy fund balance. And it just, there's my underbelly we talked about the last couple months ago, and Charlie can correct. I think this next year is going to be the bad one. I think this next year is going to be when stuff's going to really start hitting us. And I hate furloughs. I hate layoffs more than anything. So I'm not going to oppose it tonight, but I want to go on record to say we have to have a marked improvement in recreation revenue overall, revenue to the district this fiscal year to be able to sustain a second position moving forward after the end of this year.
I completely agree because probably we have to have revenue to the general public to sustain it. And that's the path. And now we're going into, I think it's going to be worse, unfortunately. So out of all these, my huge concern with number two was honestly, I don't want to have to furlough, like I said, or anything like that. So
when you discussed it, Charlie, with my finance and you, Mike, with Jerry, and was there any? Pickups with that at all, Charlie?
Well, I personally felt like everything we do from this point on is going to be very dependent on revenues. And we did discuss revenues, and what Deanne has says she's pretty dang locked on her estimate for property taxes. And so with that said, I don't foresee us having a banner year for revenue, that's for sure. So I agree that this decision has to be contingent on the sufficient revenue.
So in 1 year, so is everybody comfortable with including the full-time position for a period of one fiscal year to be reviewed?
To be reviewed.
Okay. Yes. Or something like, okay, I guess.
I do.
Before we make a motion, may I interject for one quick second just to give you a little bit more fat to chew on? As the report says, we moved rentals over there. Two, the numbers you were looking at, the bottom line numbers include a full-time supervisor and a full-time coordinator. So those numbers, if the board chooses not to move forward with it, those numbers will obviously show more on the positive side. But the recreation division is also planning some sports tournaments and new special events that we believe will help us turn the corner. So on that, so.
And I think it's very obvious that everybody is looking at everything with that glass bowl, not that bowl, but that, you know, we can do this, but our number one responsibility is the issuary, and even with a strong fund balance, it's scary going forward. So as I said, we just have to be mindful that next year, we just have to kind of look at things again. Yes.
I just wanted to add that I did discuss with Mike and Deanne, and in my feeling is that Deanne's job is full time. And I don't feel that we will be able to be as efficient as we are now if we have a part-time, taking over part-time for Deanne's position.
Oh, I would still just talk about the rec. Well, I think everybody's fine with everything except the rec.
Okay, right. All right, okay.
We're just specifically talking about the addition of a full-time rec suit.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Everything else, we're fine.
I just want to make sure that we're doing Deanne's full-time.
Absolutely.
No, Deanne, we're going out as soon as we approve the, as soon as we get to July, we're posting. We're posting it early.
I just wanted to clarify something. In the past, since I've been here for 15 years, the recreation position has never been based off of revenue. It's always been profit. So, I mean, moving forward, I don't know if you guys wanted to change that or, you know what I mean? So I just want to let you know that was always based off of property tax. So, I mean, I know you were saving revenue, so I'm not sure if you're,
well, it's,
you know what I mean?
They go hand in hand.
Okay.
I mean, if you have, let's just say, two recreation people, just for discussion, and let's say it's $80,000 a year and there's zero revenue, okay, that's not going to all be made up by, you know, their positions, yes, things fall under property tax, but the revenues, programming revenues, rental revenues, all of that does help offset personnel costs. That's why I say it. So they have to balance, and yes, those positions come out of property taxes as well as programs. And the better the programs do go, the more you can pay the rec people, the more rec people you can have. So I'll entertain a motion to approve staff's recommendation, including a step increase for all full-time, I guess, regular part-time staff across the board, because we know it's part-time for that in January. We will postpone the COLA until the January 2022 meeting, at which time finance will admit by them to see if we can move forward then. And we will approve the addition of a full-time recreation coordinator for this fiscal year, pending, you know, how things go with revenues.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Abstentions? Hearing none, 4-0. Thank you. Excellent report. Thank you all for making it easy to read, because sometimes I have to go like this, and my eyes are tired because I look at this stuff at work too, so I'm like, okay. So thank you. Just excellent. Very pleased with that. All right, moving along. We are at my gosh, I lost my back page.
So you said you're saying that we can approve this with the modification that you said. I can do county paperwork for next June and it'll be good, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. And I lost my back page on my agenda. I don't know why. Okay. We are now moving on to.
So you, oh, wait a minute, that motion include the approval of the preliminary budget, the rest of the preliminary budget?
Well, that was for the first one of your recommendations. Were
that was the recommendation.
For staffing?
Yes. That was for page 55 and 56, which was staffing suggestions.
Correct.
So, okay, let's discuss the rest of it. Any questions to Deanna, Mike, or Charlie or Mike ask about the rest of the budget?
Please don't ask Charlie, ask Deanna.
Deanna, Mike. Sorry, and you guys, and after going through this, do you have any questions? Any further questions about the regular budget?
Hearing that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for approval of the
preliminary budget for 21-22.
Sorry. I just don't
want to
rush this.
Oh, that's absolutely fine. I will approve it, maybe struggling very important.
That's the one I'm looking for.
It's right at the back. It's under 088P/354.
There it is. I got to it. Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. And the reason I'm looking for that one is because you remembered our goals and objectives.
Yes,
I mentioned that we should stop putting stuff up there until we knew whether or not we could afford anything. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that we discussed quite a bit at the Finance Admin Committee. And my feeling is, and Mike says that we can put off the 250,000 parking lot resurfacing. However, Mike, which one was it that we had to-
So talking to staff and just walking around the facilities right now, the two most important projects in our opinion. Well, one, the ADA compliance is always going to be there and always going to be important. We're always going to rent $50,000 for that a year. And Tim and his staff are ready to get going. We're going to handle it park by park.
The building exterior.
The building exterior needs to be done. It's getting to look a little bit bad out there. And that's our presentation to the community. And the new truck is becoming a very big necessity. For a number of reasons, but the biggest one is, as I mentioned a couple months ago, the two Ford F-150s that we currently have should not be on the roads. And they're being held together by duct tape and bubble gum at this point. And it would be a lot easier and a lot more manageable for Tim and his staff if we can get that truck in there. Those would be the two that I would recommend moving forward with.
And not the parking lot this fiscal
year. No, we can defer the parking lot for a year, possibly two.
Yeah, that, and so we had discussed that, and I thank you, Deanne, for telling me where capital was, because I was going through the CAD fund. Where the heck is it? So that would be the recommendation from the finance committee that we delay the $250,000 for parking lot resurfacing this fiscal year to delay it to 2022-23, and we do the renovation of the exterior of the community center.
So would you like to make a recommendation on the ADA compliance and renovation and the new truck?
Yes. So recommended. You want to second that?
Okay, Stacy seconds.
Thank you for phrasing that for
me. Is anything else in the budget that anybody would like to pull and discuss?
Oh, the only thing that I would have is I'm always concerned about the water.
Yes.
And I'm not sure.
Did we increase our water 450%?
Pretty much. It's under maintenance.
Right.
and it's on the the third page of the maintenance budget. From the bottom moving up, it's five from the bottom. We increase it $8,000. We can make a another change on that. There is a public hearing, which was in your written comments. I believe it's on the 21st. Yeah, June 21st. And I'm going to be putting in, actually, we have Mr. Resig on the line. I can ask him directly. But we're going to put in a call to the water district to find out if there's going to be any break on outdoor irrigation and if this will only be affecting indoor irrigation. As we're all aware, the fixed fees are coming down, but water is going up. Right now, according to Mr. Shaw, the general manager over at the water district, Rio Linda Community Water has some of the highest fixed fees, so they are coming down. But per the two assembly bills, we had some of the lowest water rates, and those are definitely going up. So, Mr. Resig, if I may ask, can you let us know about if there's going to be a break for outdoor irrigation, or is this all inclusive?
It's for customers like yourselves. There is a rate structure. It was part of the rate notice that you were sent. It's not at this point in time going to be considered for adjustment. The state is has given us some guidance as to what they think the water district budget should be for outdoor irrigation, but that's only for the district to produce water, not to price it. The structure that we're going forth is to become more respectful of water use. Those that conserve will enjoy a rate decrease. Those that have enjoyed relatively flat rates in the past will pay more because of less efficient water use. We're trying various programs to reach out to different customers to help them conserve water. I think one of the things that we've offered you folks is the Innovate water adapter that you can monitor water use more effectively. Get back to your point, Mike, the documents that you receive for the rate meeting is what we're proposing to pay.
So outdoor irrigation, to answer that question, is going up. So we can make an adjustment on water on the park maintenance budget. Okay.
Mike, do you mind giving 2 cents a room water a call? Because they're doing something special with park districts in the area over there as rates go up. And to try to minimize the hit on the park districts and to delay payments regarding certain things. So if you could maybe check into that with them and then maybe our counterpart across the halfway over here. As a recommendation to maybe see what they to look into what they're doing, because Saxon is really doing what I think is a wonderful community outreach, recognizing what this is going to mean for local park districts when you have a governor and a COVID problem in which they're telling everybody to go enjoy your parks while they're shutting you down. And then while they not only are they shutting this down, now we're going to shut the water off. So you know, they'll be going to a lot of brown parks.
Go to your lovely crunchy brown.
Okay, yes, we can definitely call Sac Suburban and see what they're doing. We could I'm going to read the preliminary budget motion back, and we can move that to $80,000 in your market for water only, and go from there.
Okay, is there a motion for approval? All those in favor say. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain.
Abstentions. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you again, Deanne and Mike. And please pass the regards on to Shelley and Annette. That's staff. I'm sure Recreation had to work on this somewhat too.
Do you want these back?
Yes, we can make changes.
Yeah, if you can leave your prelim budgets with us this evening. Jerry's is there. Oh, no, Jerry's he has. I can get it from him. So I just want to read that motion back that we just voted on, just to make sure I have the wording correct. But it's to approve, it was Moore and Bastian to approve the preliminary budget with deferring the parking lot resurfacing for one more year, to approve the building, exterior of the building, the ADA, and the purchase of the vehicle, and also add to the water line an additional $20,000 to an $80,000 total. Yep. Got it.
Exactly. Okay, Carl, do you have anything more you'd like to add under
committees for admin finance?
Admin finance? No, actually, I don't want to add anything under admin finance. Well, possibly. This possibly goes there. Okay, so I did a webinar yesterday and today, and I passed around to y'all. It says on the front, fact sheet COVID-19 relief funding for special districts, state level. And there is a number of things in this particular document that I think we could probably look at for our park district in terms of accessing some of this money, possibly. So Mike, I don't know how much of this you've seen.
I saw it all yesterday.
Okay, and I don't know what you think we can do, but I just felt like there were definitely things that our park district is providing to the community that we should be able to, what? No, that was you.
That was me.
Okay, that we should be able to get some kind of, this money to repay us for some of the stuff that COVID has cost us. And I don't know exactly, I'll be honest with you, it was very fast. So I didn't have time to really digest this, but I'm thinking that there's nearly $1 billion. How are they not gonna, I mean, they won't notice us little people down here asking for 250,000 out of $1 billion. Some of the things that I feel like we do that are important is we provide the senior nutrition in our buildings. We provide cooling centers during the heat waves. We provide, I don't know, Mike, help me.
Well, during all this, I've already spoken with one assembly member as well as our supervisor. We've increased on purchasing PPEs for our staff who are out in the public,
the purchasing of sanitation equipment for our parks and our playgrounds as well as our staff. We have somebody delivering Meals on Wheels right now. We're working the learning hubs in conjunction with Twin Rivers Unified School District. So we've got that collaboration going on. We're about to extend on that collaboration over the summer with the pool. So there's a lot that we are doing that has been brought up. And the one thing that I've been harping on that I mentioned at the supervisors meeting, and I also mentioned to both the senators and our assembly person, is we're trying to create things in a box that box didn't exist a year and a half ago. So it's just sort of blindsided us. Now, of the 12 special districts that are recreation and parks in Sacramento County, we're probably in the best shape out of all 12 of them, and that's simply because of a population base. So we're doing, considering how hard COVID has hit everybody, we're doing a little bit better, but we're still hurting. And it's costing us, and it's especially costing us on a government rate on the unemployment. We still have people who aren't working. Would rather take the unemployment check and the PUPs through government assistance and come back to work because it's more profitable for them. That's slowly starting to change, but we are hitting them with the fact sheet, and we are talking to them And we're working on it. I don't know if special districts are going to be recognized by the state. We certainly hope they will. I feel that we still have a better shot of putting our eggs into the Sacramento County Supervisor's basket. And I'm pretty sure we'll get 3 votes there, so.
Yeah, and no, I appreciated that because I was really, I've had too much input in the last 2 days. But one of the things that I didn't realize is that there's over 100,000 special districts nationwide. And there is a national special district coalition. And the national special district coalition has been very active in trying to get special districts onto the agendas and the attention of the senators and congresspeople federally. Not the state. And we did hear from John Garamendi for a keynote speaker, and he has actually introduced bills to make it law that special districts will be recognized in future distributions of funds from the federal level. So, I mean, that's progress.
It's a bit of progress. I personally really disappointed in CSDA, California Special Districts, because I spoke to Dane last February in this city, and they said, is CSDA on this? And they assured us, yes, I am Mike still in FEC. And I said, yep, we're on this. Said, okay, because special districts have been left out, and you need to emphasize the non-enterprise districts and enterprise districts, because they are different.
Yep.
And if they would recognize the non-enterprise portion, I think back east would understand it more. But all they see is, well, water district, they raise the rates 400%. What do they need help for? So I'm hopeful, and as Mike said, I think we're gonna get more from the BOS, and I'm grateful that we can count to 3 to get so the special districts within Sac County get something. And we'll keep hoping on. Yeah, I was sitting in with the ballots and FEC through the last couple of days on through it. So yeah, I like John Garamendi's fact that he sees it now.
He knows exactly what it is.
He sees it. He actually sees, tastes, and smells it the way the other one, Wilkinson Baines, didn't. So
the bottom line, he acknowledged and he said, and I love the phrase, he said that the special districts are where the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
We are the ones that actually do things.
Right.
We are not the ones that just pass it along to another committee. But we are, special districts are the rubber hitting the road. And so I think he's got it. I think he does understand.
I'm glad you two guys are attending. Thank you, Charlie, for bringing the fact sheet. Planning. I don't have to call everything. So, safety and security. Firehouse.
Meeting tomorrow.
Right? Right through Parkway, the committee.
Canceled.
Canceled. LAFCO.
Yes.
Both of you.
We had May 5th. Okay. LAFCO. Hang on, I have to go through my stuff.
6 over mile, margarita.
It was.
Now I don't want to win.
Yeah, well, you know, free margaritas.
Yeah.
So we did have a meeting on the 5th. I am, don't forget, an alternate. I do not, yeah. But I go to the meetings to make sure that I don't miss anything. So what we did, or what I should say they did, because I didn't do it. Where's that agenda? Oh, there it is. Okay, so they approved the Reclamation District 551 annexation and Reclamation District 755 proposal to annex the one district into the other. So that's, you want more detail? All right.
What district?
It's the Sacramento Reclamation District 551 and Reclamation District 755. 755 is CEQA exempt. I will try and I did print out quite a bit of it.
Pardon?
The recommendations.
Yeah. And the recommendations from Don Lockhart were to certify the categorical exemption as adequate to the secret review of dissolution of Reclamation District 755, Randall Island, and annexation of RD 755 territory by Reclamation District 551, Pearson District. Adopt resolution as a determination to approve the dissolution of Reclamation District 755, Randall Island, and annexation of RD 755 territory by Reclamation District 551, District. Designate your executive officer, Don, to act as conducting authority for this change of organization. So what they're doing is just merging two
districts.
Okay. And that was approved with all of this documentation. It was like 15.
A ream of paper.
60, 70 pages, including maps. So I didn't print the whole thing. I only printed the first part, hoping that you guys would get bored before I got done. So that, and then the Delta Fire District did a adjustment of their boundary. That's was approved, and that's about it. Yep, that's all I got from last.
No, and we'll go on to
district
comments. So
if you said no, you're not going to. First and foremost, I want to thank Tina and the budget and Mike for putting it together. Awesome. So thank you guys, and I hope we see some results in the recreation now that people are coming out and ready to have some fun. So I wanted to thank recreation for going out for a couple days. So it was good to see them out there, and for everyone that came out. And I want to thank maintenance because everything looks amazing out there. So you guys are doing a great job. And I wanted to, I was able to go to Virtual Elementary for a while and just scroll around, and there were some parents over there. They just wanted to thank us for having stuff there for them to play on and have fun. I want to thank Tremors PD for going over there Patrol anymore. So it seemed we had kind of lessened what was going on over there with their. Just being there, so I think it proves that their presence does do something. And it was interesting. We were sitting there, and we were just watching traffic just around there, and it was just, you know, sitting there, the officers, well, it's just insane around here, just on Penn Street there. And so we did talk about that a little bit, and hopefully we can curb some of that, since it is so close to children. I'm playing especially on that event. So we'll work on that. And thank you to everybody. Thank you to the board for doing a good job and a good budget.
Cool. I'll just go online. Yes, parks are lovely. Thank you to the guys, especially with so much additional garbage being done.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we quantify how much additional. For COVID stuff, relief monies, how much additional garbage the park district is receiving collectively. I think it's going to be really important financially to go forward with that. I am very concerned about the redistricting. I don't know, whatever I think we can do as a district to support. Yeah. Very uneasy feelings about where this may lead us. And the community needs to know what it's going to be if it does change. And as always, the budget, yeah, thank you. It was legible, it was clean. Congratulations on your last one. You better come back for the audit, though, because I expect a great deal, you know, a great deal of hope. But you're still responsible for this one. And to Rec, I wish them good luck. I'm happy to see a number of kids on the swim team. I hope they have a good season. I know there's still a lot of COVID restrictions at the pool, as far as how many people and swim lessons and the whole nine yards. And we all have that big June 15th date, and on record, park districts, you know, what is this going to mean to us on June 16th? You know, because I don't think a lot of us have warm and fuzzy feelings that we're going to really be open the way he says. And well, it's nice to be together. I can't stand Zoom. It's just so sanitized and impersonal. So it's really great to see everybody in person. I wish you all well and happiness and good health. With that, it's on you, Lise.
I just want to say thank you to Recreation for being at Arm and Track Committee once again this year. And the budget, it's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for that as well. Maintenance, our parks are great. So thank you, maintenance, for that. Deanne, have a nice 3-week vacation.
2.5. Stop.
Are you
going to cry? And happy early birthday to our administrator.
Thank you.
Holly.
Well, I've got a little more from the webinar. Sorry.
That's why we're here.
One of the things, the first day, the last breakout session was changing districts and changing times, how redistricting the CDRA and emerging demographic change trends will continue to influence governance in special districts. We as a special district don't have divisions. Our special district is at large. And the discussion, there was quite a bit of discussion about some special districts are going to divisions, not at large. And it had to do with lawsuits, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't follow. It didn't make a lot of sense.
I didn't hear that one.
Okay. So anyway, they did not focus very much on they did a lot on the nuts and bolts of how special districts and gerrymandering occurs. There was a lot on that. I think we all understand. I don't think any of us had any doubts about what occurs with gerrymandering and why. So I think the main thing that we have is what Chair McDaniel brought up, and that is that we need to be active in the Board of Supervisors assembly and supervisors and all the other redistricting that is going to occur. And we need to get, I think, a letter in as early as possible and probably as often as possible to the various, whether it's the Senate, the Assembly, or the Board of Supervisors, saying that this community, and I've never run into, I feel happy saying it, but I've never run into anybody who says otherwise, would like to have our entire park district included in District 4, instead of it having a small parcel in District 1 and the rest of us in District 4. So I think that's important, and that we would like to remain as a whole District 4. So I would like to get that out there. There is there's the Ferguson Group and Paragon Government Relations are the two that do the federal legislation, did the federal legislative briefing. They are working right now, the National Special District Coalition is working on a special district definition that will be included in federal code so that once and for all, we will be actually named as special districts in the code so that when laws are done, they will have to recognize us because we're in the code. And if they forget, we can remind them. And so I think that is what we need. That is exactly what we need. So I'm very happy to hear that they're working on that right now. I don't know how close that is to being finalized, but they are working on it. And you don't want to know that. That's all that changing stuff and how many members of Congress and each one represents 750,000 constituents, and we don't care. Okay, so that's that. The one that I listened to today that I really got interested in was, there was three, the state legislative briefing, the California News Publishers Association and how Freedom of Information Act and the Public Records Act are viewed by the publishers in general and by special districts when we have to respond to a request for information and what it means to us. And the fact that there are people out there who will use these things as a way to harass a district into spending a great deal of time and effort and money trying to respond to a request, and what can be done to help alleviate that kind of harass. So that was mostly what that was about. The state legislative was, again, on the COVID relief that we've already talked about. But the one that got me excited was climate adaptation. Whoa. Which you didn't pay the bill again?
She says climate adaptation. Pastor the friendly ghost comes out to tell us we're using too much of our carbon footprint. We just lost lighting in here, but we got it back for those wondering why we just paused. Anyway.
Administrator Heller didn't pay the bill again.
I don't pay those bills.
The thing that got me excited here is, again, there's pots of money. Pots of money. Pots of money. This one, climate adaptation, includes, I don't know how to start this. So this is the Regional Forestry and Fire Capacity Program funding. Now, I'll say that again. Regional Forestry and Fire Capacity Program funding. Yay. Okay, lots of words. We like lots of words. I got a little history on the Forest Service, which began in, I think it was 1885 or something like that. And they originally weren't going to be funded because they didn't see any need to fund forests back in 1885, which is understandable. But they knew they were going to need funding. So they ended up saying, instead of funding the Forest Service, we'll fund the politicians for this. We'll fund fire suppression so we can get money. So that's what they did. So that's how we got Smokey Bear and fire suppression for the last 250 years or however long it's been. We all know what fire suppression has done.
So I'm sending her home. She's getting ready and she has to pack.
Oh, bye. Deanne, have a wonderful vacation. We already miss you.
Send pictures.
Don't send pictures.
Don't send pictures.
Say hi to Doug and the kids.
Take care.
Sorry
about that.
I know. I know this is 2 days kind of money. So the bottom line is that there are pots of money out there. Most park districts, and this was pointed out in this discussion, most park districts are already doing things like supplying cooling centers, supplying shelter during smoke events where people have to get out of the smoke they can, and they don't have adequate filters in their homes, so they go to cooling centers or places where they can. So the thing that they pointed out was that we lost two special districts entirely during the campfire, the Paradise Irrigation District and the Big Creek Parks and Recreation. Those districts were wiped out because there was no property tax to support them. There was no income. There was nothing. The Parks and Rec is reimagining themselves in a way that, you know, the whole forestry thing is fuel breaks and roads so people can get out, because people died because they couldn't drive fast enough to get away. So the Parks and Rec is reimagining how they would design their parks to provide a buffer around a city that is in danger of being run over by a forest fire, which I thought was really, really a great thing. What we, as a more urban park district, and I consider us urban, even though we think we're rural, we're really not, but I think that we, there's several things that we should do, I think, and we may be able to apply for money to do them, is we should definitely offer ourselves as a refuge for smoke during smoke events. We had several where this whole valley fills up with smoke. We should definitely do the kind of landscaping that should, God forbid, a fire come through town, which it could happen. I mean, Santa Rosa burned, you know, so it could happen that we need to look at things that we can do to use our parks to help mitigate a potential future catastrophic fire in downtown. So, and I think we can get funding for that, and it would be stuff that we could do in our parks, like Bay Best, West Side, and so on, to give people a place they can go to be safe if the fire were coming through. So that's the thing I got kind of excited about, especially because they kept saying, and there's funding for this. So that's it. That's what I got.
Thank you. And along those lines, since we were already identified at one time at Red Cross Evacuation Center.
Yes.
To just add it, to have that. And obviously, they put us in the flood and our community center.
Yes. And flood was the other thing, although that wasn't discussed.
But maybe, as Charlie just brought up, the landscape, the smoking. And I asked Charlie, what about the horse arena to take
livestock
and things? I think Elkhorn's a great. I'll write off Elkhorn there as a livestock holding area.
Yes. I'm sure that we should advertise ourselves.
You add that.
Yes. And, you know, if we can partner with some other agencies, we can have large animals besides horses, you know, because there are sheep there. And there are separate pens. That's right.
So, yes.
Okay.
Excellent update.
Thank you for that. And then my director's comment. My report is thank you, Mike. Thank you, Deanne, for that wonderful budget. And yes, maintenance has done, as they always do, an awesome job of keeping up with the parks and the maintenance outside in the parks. They look great. I wanted to say too, I made a note to myself, we need to apply for some of that protocol money if we're going to do these protocols for sanitation and maintenance that the county sent us.
Yeah.
We would need money for that. We should get money for that because there's no way we can afford to do that. So yes, thank you, Mike, for and Deanne both for working on the budget. It's great, great budget. Good job. And I'll shut up. Let's go home.
Before you adjourn.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of items that are going to impact our future meetings. One, just as a reminder to the entire board, Supervisor Frost is starting to hold her community meetings again. She will be outdoors here on Monday evening from 6 to 7. We will have some chairs outside, but I suggest possibly bringing your own so you can properly position yourself socially if you need to. As well, our June meeting is scheduled for June 16th. If the governor entirely opens up the economy and all indoor buildings on June 15th, we can conceivably hold an audience here on the 16th, but we'll be within 72 hours. So we can come up with a motion this evening that if we open on June 15th, we can set up for chairs on the 16th. If not, we're going to be like this for one more meeting.
I think
fair enough.
Yep. That's just
I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
And then finally, I've spoken with the Grand Park team who was supposed to come up last March to do an in-person presentation and told them that the board is starting to meet again in person and we've held the June and July dates for them. We can bring them up either for June or July. They're waiting to hear from us. I just need a recommendation. But based on what we just said about the June meeting and the economy, maybe we should wait and bring them up in July.
July.
Okay.
Agreed.
That is all that I had.
Thank you.
There is a Foundation of the Future meeting on June 21st. It is. We can move our Foundation for the Future meeting to June 14th, which will be the same week as it normally is for the board.
Yes.
Thank you, what? Thank you, Vice Chair.
Okay. So be it. And Mike will send out a reminder, right?
Yes, I'll put that into the weekly